This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. As we've all been spending a lot of time at home, you may have indulged in a little bit of staring at the four walls surrounding you, down at the floor, looking around. And this got me thinking a little bit about the industries we don't often think about, like the ceramic and tile industry. So to give us some insights into this is Managing Director of Nairo Ceramic Group, Ian Kok.
Well, my name is Ian Kok, right? I've just been appointed the Managing Director of the Nairo Ceramic Group very early this year. Yeah. The Nairo Ceramic Group is primarily involved in the marketing, manufacturing, and the sales of premium porcelain tiles, ceramic tiles. Okay, and the brand that we own and that we sell, right, has actually been around for, well, as of last year anyway, for about 41 years.
Mm-hmm.
We are currently located in 7 countries, right? Of course, you know, being a Malaysian company, our HQ is actually located here in Malaysia, but we have a fairly strong presence in Southeast Asia. And also, you know, we still have a company in Spain, in Europe. Yeah.
Fantastic. So can you tell me a little bit about the history of Nairo Ceramic? Where did it start?
Okay. It's quite interesting because it's got a strong, you know, European heritage. It was started, right? You know, it was actually started by a Danish company, a Danish engineering company to be exact, right? It was called Nairo SA, right? And this engineering company was making, you know, equipment for various industries, right? And ceramic tiles was one of them, right? And they basically made equipment for the tile manufacturing process, yeah. They decided, the Danish decided, right, and this was back in 1986, that they wanted to go downstream. And, you know, besides making equipment for the tile industry, they wanted to make tiles as well, right, the finished product. So they actually started this, the first factory, right, in Switzerland, right, in this town called Cresciano. And that was also where the brand name Nairo Granite was born. You know, the Danish, they are fairly enterprising and fairly adventurous people. And they actually came over to Malaysia, to Southeast Asia, right? And to Malaysia specifically, right? In 1990, right? And started a factory outside of Europe, right? In Johor, in Pasir Gudang. And that factory, you know, is still running and we're still managing it, yeah? So that's a quick snapshot of how we came about. And of course, after coming to Malaysia, right, we went to Indonesia, and sometime around the mid-90s, the Danish decided to exit the business, and it was taken over by my Malaysian shareholders. So today, Nairo Ceramic Group, right, the brand name Nairo Granite, and we've got some other brands as well, is 100% owned by Malaysians. But we do have a very, very strong European heritage.
Fantastic. Now, can you give us a little bit of insight into the ceramics or tile industry in Malaysia in general? I mean, what's the general environment been like?
Okay. Well, the ceramic tile industry in Malaysia, right, actually has been growing for many, many years, yeah. And this was in step with the growth of the property sector. But I would say that, you know, probably in 2016, 2017 onwards, and I think we all know about this because it's reported quite frequently in the local papers that there's too much property now, yeah. That's basically an oversupply situation, yeah. And because of this oversupply, of course, you know, property developers, right, will certainly slow down, right, to let demand catch up, right. Mm-hmm. And it is, of course, you know, with such a situation, right, there is more pressure on tile manufacturers in terms of finding the market to sell their output, right?
Mm.
Every factory has got a capacity, right, that needs to be utilized, right? So I would say in the last 3 to 4 years, right, it is very clear that that demand is lesser than what it used to be. And of course, you know, this has triggered price competition, you know, amongst the Malaysian manufacturers, notwithstanding the fact that there are also several companies, right, that actually import tiles into Malaysia, right? And that adds to the competition as well.
Hmm.
So I would say that as we speak right now, it is very, very competitive, right? And the market is, in fact, shifting a little bit, mm-hmm. right? Because of the oversupply situation, right? There are some property developers that are also looking for a more affordable type of ceramic tiles, mm-hmm. right? So as a supplier, as a manufacturer, you have to adapt to the market. Yeah, but fortunately for us, the Nairo Ceramic Group, right? Malaysia is an important market, obviously, but it's not the only market for us, right? We're in Indonesia in a fairly big way. We are in the Philippines. We are in Vietnam. We are in China, right? We're in India and also Spain.
Hmm. Okay, very interesting. Now, from a layperson's perspective, I guess, there doesn't seem to be much variation, I guess, you know, like what can you really differentiate about tiles, right? Tell me a little bit about Nairo Ceramic Group's like USP or Nairo Granite's USP, right? What exactly makes you guys stand out from the competition?
I would say it's, you know, it's got a lot to do with the fact that, you know, going back again, you know, on our European background, mm-hmm. right? And the fact that, you know, we've been in the Malaysian industry at least, right, since 1990,
mm.
yeah. And the emphasis right from those days, right, was on the quality of the product, yeah. And the name Nairo Granite, right, there's a reason for that, right, because the word, you know, the word granite is used, right, is to convey and to communicate the fact that our tiles, right, are actually as strong, as robust as natural granite,
mm.
right? And we know natural granite is a very, very strong and hard material, right? So for our group, right, ever since those days, right, there's been a very, very strong emphasis on the quality of the products that we produce. Right, but added to that, right, we have also developed a reputation for many, many years, right, of being innovative in terms of our product designs. I would say, you know, in the last 15 years since I've been with the group, anyway, right, we are normally like a pioneer in terms of certain types of products. Right, and we work very, very closely with the professionals, the architects, the designers, right, who are actually basically the people that will vet through the products and then, you know, choose based on a combination of design as well as quality.
Mm. So yeah. It's essentially you're already really well established here, but also it's that focus on quality and durability as well as aesthetics, which is of course also very important.
Of course, of course. Mm. And of course, you know, Christina, we have also moved on from just the quality of the product itself. We have, in the last several years, right, we've placed a lot of priority on our distribution strategy, on our delivery, right, being able to fulfill customers' orders on time,
mm-hmm.
right, and, you know, just being an overall reliable supplier. Right, and this is something that we replicate, right, in the other countries that we operate.
Hmm. So there's consistency in terms of reliability across, you know, all of your all of the countries that you're in as well. So
exactly.
you really do get that, you know, that you customers can rely on you. I suppose. I guess.
Yes, because we've been in the market for so long. We've also established, you know, very, very good relationships, business relationships, right, with our resellers, mm-hmm. right, or dealers, right, with our distributors, with our property developer customers, right, architects, mm-hmm. designers. Right. So that has also helped us grow our business. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you were mentioning that you do have manufacturing facilities internationally. Is that right?
That's correct.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, this process and the products that you guys have. I mean, okay. you know, where is the raw material sourced from? You know, what's the variety right. here? Yeah. Tell me about that.
Okay. You know, if I were to start in Malaysia, right, most of the raw materials are sourced locally, I would say. Most of them. Right. Of course, there are some that we import. Right. And our factory is in Pasir Gudang in Johor, right? And the products that Nairo Ceramic Group produces, right? We are more heavily focused towards what you call the porcelain ceramic tiles, right? Which are higher grade, higher quality tiles, okay? As opposed to what you may see, tiles that are normally installed on the wall, mm-hmm. right? Those tiles are a little bit different. They're called ceramic wall tiles. We do have a little bit of that, but that's only a minority of our product portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the factory that we have in Johor, as well as we also have another factory in Indonesia, the focus is actually producing on higher aesthetically pleasing products, right? Right. So the quality is a given, Christine, right? You know, whatever product that comes out from our factory or whatever products that we handle, there is a Nairo Ceramic specification that we all follow,
mm-hmm.
right? But that aside, right, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on the aesthetics of the products as well, yeah? We know how to make products more attractive, right? We have a good sense of, you know, the colors and the textures to be used,
mm-hmm.
right? So that combination of quality and product aesthetics is at the forefront of our product development strategy. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to take a short break, but after that, I will continue speaking to Ian from Nairo Ceramic Group all about the effect of the pandemic on Nairo as well. So do stay tuned to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and on the line with me today is the Managing Director of Nairo Ceramic Group, Ian Cook. So before the break, we were talking about the history of Nairo Ceramic Group and Malaysia's tile and ceramic industries, as well as Nairo's stance among their competitors as well. But now I do want to talk about the pandemic. I don't think we can escape that topic, and especially in your case, because as you mentioned before the break, you were working with Nairo for more than 15 years already, and you were recently promoted into the Managing Director position pretty much during the pandemic, or kind of as the pandemic hit. So can you tell me a little bit about that and handling that transition?
Okay, I mean, Christine, there's no doubt, right? It's a first for many of us. I think probably for everyone that is in business. You know, the pandemic came in 2020 in March, right? You know, then again in 2021, right? I would say that we, you know, being creatures of learning, we learn how to be better each time, right? But I would say that during the pandemic, right, the strategies that we have rolled out, in fact, you know, there was a 3-year plan that we rolled out in February this year.
Mm.
And in this 3-year plan, right, you know, we have defined strategies, right? I would say that when the pandemic came again, right, in June, our strategies actually remain unchanged, mm-hmm. right? But there were different steps of action that we had to take, right? You know, to manage, right, the situation whereby there's no sales, right? You know, the factory was shut down, the company was shut down. Right, we had to take certain steps of action, right, to adapt to that situation, right. Obviously, there was a strong emphasis on how we can reduce our expenses and our spending. Yeah, we were very, very careful on our recruitment, right? Yeah, and I would say that for us in particular, right, we had a very sharp focus towards reducing our inventory. Yeah. Even though there was no physical business activity, right? But we remained very, very much in touch with our customers via remote ways, right? And we still, right? You know, we still could register new sales orders and deliveries because we also have an export business, yeah. So we were not totally reliant on only the domestic market, yeah. So those were the key things that we undertook right during that period. And of course, you know, we wanted to be sure that you know we remain nimble and strong, right, and in touch with the market, you know, and we continue to engage with our customers through digital communication tools. We were very, very active internally, right? Some of my colleagues actually, you know, told me that during this 3 months of lockdown, they probably worked harder than, you know, the normal days when we didn't have a lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that that was very, very important to keep everyone engaged, communicated, and also a great time, right, to be brainstorming on new ideas, yeah.
Hmm. And speaking of new ideas, you know, I understand that Naira Ceramic Group has launched a new franchise, right?
Yes.
This is called Creative Lab. And
that's
it's an experiential retail environment that essentially enables your customers to design their homes online. So tell me a bit about that and where that came from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, the idea of this Creative Lab, right, was a brainchild of my predecessor, yeah? The concept of Creative Lab was like this, yeah. We took into consideration a few factors that was taking place, right, in the market. Digitalization, right, was actually, you know, getting more and more advanced, yeah? More and more sophisticated. You know, normally in the tile industry, it is traditional to have a very, very large showroom. Right, so that you can actually have physical mock-ups of all your tiles, right? So that when a customer walks in, you can show to the customer, okay, you know, this tile, how will it look like in your kitchen? How it will look like in your bathroom or in your dining area, right? So that was the way tiles were marketed, basically, right? In fact, if you go to certain countries like China, for example, some showrooms can be, you know, in the tens of thousands of square feet, yeah? You know, when we are thinking about this, we also felt that maybe that is not the most effective way of selling tiles, because you know, when you walk through a large showroom, by the time you finish walking through the showroom, right, you may have already forgotten what you have seen earlier on, right? So we married that idea together with the fact that because of, you know, digitalization, as I mentioned earlier on, there was, you know, there were more and more powerful design software, yeah, where you can actually display, right, on a high definition TV, right, a picture of your tile, which is very high definition. I mean, it looks almost, I would say, almost close to the real thing,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And when we were thinking about this, it was also clear, right, that the retail market for Nairo in particular, right, was a market where we really wanted to expand,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Nairo traditionally has been very, very strong in the project market, yeah, selling to commercial property developers, residential property developers, working with architects. But when it comes to the retail market, we felt that that was an area that we can grow much more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was when, you know, with the digitalization, we can put these things together and then, you know, just open a small store, right? Yeah. Open a small store where we will have this new design software, right? you know, with a smaller store footprint, right, where we will display certain pieces of our physical tiles, but largely the design of our tiles will be visualized in the software itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is really new, I would say. No one has attempted something like this before. And right now, we have got 41 stores, actually. We have got 41 Creative Lab stores in Peninsula Malaysia, right? And we are also growing it in our overseas subsidiaries.
Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, that's also a really creative way of digitalizing your business, right? I think a lot of people,
yes,
when they hear the word digitalization, they just assume, get on social media, right? But this is a very specific and innovative way of looking at it, I think.
And, you know, Christine, I just want to add as well, our experience so far is that, you know, homeowners are quite happy with this way of shopping, right? Because they spend much lesser time as opposed to the traditional way of shopping for tile, right? It's comfortable, right? You know, they sit in our store, right? Next to our sales designer, and it's basically picking what they want and dropping it into their layout, right? They will give us a layout of their bathroom, for example, right? The dimensions of their bathroom, the area of the floor, the area of the wall, and it's basically drag and drop, right? Mm-hmm. And after that, we will give them a soft copy of what they've chosen. Okay, we'll send it to their mobile phone, right? And when they go back to their families, they can actually share it with their family.
It really streamlines the whole process.
Exactly. And just very, very recently, through our Creative Lab stores, Christine, we've just introduced our tile installation service as well, right? So when you come to our Creative Lab store, not only can you buy Nairo Granite tiles from us, right? You can also use our tile installation service, right? So you don't have to go shopping for a tile contractor or a tile installer. Right. And we think this is quite a compelling a value that we're delivering, because then we will assure that, you know, the final quality of your flooring. Right. It's no longer okay, you know, if the tiles are okay, but the workmanship is not good, then it's still a problem, or vice versa. Right. So now it's you basically buy it from one company.
Fantastic. You're basically ensuring end-to-end quality in that way.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, my final question for you, Ian, are your plans for the future? Because I understand that Nairo Ceramic Group has plans to go public in 2022. So tell me a bit about that goal.
Yes. You know, the shareholders of our company, right, has expressed, you know, an interest of going public. In fact, this has been discussed, you know, in the past, and we had actually already mapped out, you know, a plan to actually go for listing in year 2022, and obviously this was before the latest lockdown, right? And because of this latest lockdown, we are now going to postpone it to 2023.
Right.
Okay. So that is the corporate plans that we have for our group. Yeah. But, you know, in terms of our how we want to grow, we have a 3-year growth plan, as I mentioned earlier on, right? Where we have defined, you know, clear strategies in this 3-year growth plan. And we aspire to, you know, double our turnover in 3 years, and to have a multiple of profits as compared to our current levels, right? So we do have this medium-term plan, and I think both, you know, the listing of the company and this 3-year growth plan will obviously be closely aligned with each other.
Well, fantastic. That's about it for all the time that we have today. So thank you very much, Ian, for speaking to me all about Nairo Ceramic Group.
Thank you, Christine. It was nice talking to you as well.
You've been listening to Open for Business with me, Christine Wong. I've been speaking to the Managing Director of Nairo Ceramic Group, Ian Kok. If you've missed any of today's conversation, you can go ahead and download our app that's available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also head over to our website at bfm.my to listen to and even download the podcast. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.